Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everybody, here we are talking about Easter. It's just coming around the corner. And I got two very fascinating guests with me today. One is Matthias Thielmann from C3 Home in Leipzig, and Sam Picken all the way from Toronto, Canada.
Come on.
Great to have you guys with us.
Thank you very much.
So good.
Great to be with you guys.
Great to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. How you feeling about Easter?
It's great. Just around the corner, isn't it? It's soon.
It's soon.
Right.
What are you doing for Easter in Toronto, Sam?
Yeah, we got this amazing documentary that's coming out. We had this time last year, or a little over a year ago, a couple in our church. This guy just was at F45 at a gym and collapsed, and actually he had a heart attack and died. And I'll spare you the full story, but basically what happens is we rush to hospitals in the middle of COVID, and these are long-term members of our church, and they he got miraculously healed, and the story is absolutely insane, and it just glorifies God in a huge way. So we interviewed them on stage a number of months later, and it just really impacted the church in a huge way. And there's a documentary filmmaker in our church that just came up to me after the service and said, "Man, wouldn't it be great if we just interviewed, some of the doctors and the guys at the gym, and got even people that weren't Christians to talk about it, and then just really help like different cynicism and things that are in the room. And wouldn't it be great if we turned it into a bit of a documentary, like about 20, 25 minutes long?" I was like, "Great, you've got our Easter plan for next year." So that's getting finished up right now, and it is so good. So we're releasing that on Easter Sunday. It's called Death to Life, and it just tells the testimony of someone dealing with a heart attack, being rushed to ICU, on life support, risen from the dead, and just tells the story. And we're really believing that it's going to be an amazing thing to invite friends to. So we're doing that.
Heck yeah. I mean, death to life is the whole message of Easter, isn't it? And Mattis, what are you doing at Easter?
Well, we're doing a worship tour just the week before Easter. So we're touring through all our three cities where we're located at the moment, touring with a crew of 40 people and two big trucks, and making a big effort just to glorify God, making a big worship tour in every city, and inviting just everyone, just everybody can come, other churches, other ministries, other people, everyone of the city. And then we have a big Easter celebration just on one of our locations, but where we bring everyone together. So we call it Three Cities, One Celebration, where we actually have a zoo next to the location we booked, because we booked a different venue to just have enough space. And so we have kids' church in a zoo, and making a big fest out of it, so people can come, people can invite other people, and sharing the gospel there. So we're really excited for next week.
Yeah, your church is so on fire there too, Mattis. I haven't actually been there. I've only watched videos and seen. I've got to make it there this year sometime.
You do. You're coming over. Yes, we're really excited having you already.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think it's in June, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So getting back to the whole importance of Easter, it would seem to be like probably after Christmas, or maybe more than Christmas, the most important date on the Christian calendar in the year. Can you tell us, Sam, why you would think, that Easter is that important?
Well, it's when history changed. Like, you got BC, AD, the tipping point was that dividing moment where Christ's resurrection changed the course of history. And that's a historical fact, but it's also is meant to be a historical fact for a person's life. There's meant to be a testimony for every individual where you weren't introduced to the resurrection of Jesus. You weren't introduced to that moment, but then you get saved and it becomes your BCAD. It becomes your personal, I didn't have Christ and now he's real in my life and I'm born again. And so what happened in history can happen in your heart. And that's the pinnacle. It's where the church was birthed out of that. The resurrection was the thing they were waiting for. And then after that happened, that was the New Testament message. And it's a game changer.
It is huge, isn't it? And the only way that you ever discover that it's that huge is by your personal experience, by actually saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And the fact that you can say that indicates that he's alive right now. I mean, he didn't die 2,000 years ago and stay dead. He came back and he's still alive. He came back with what the Bible calls basically a resurrection body, which he is the first model. He's the first fruits. And we're all going to get a body like that for living in that eternal city, heaven, which is like the most unbelievable, breathtaking, jaw-dropping sight that anybody who's ever had a glimpse says it's illegal to talk about it because it is so breathtaking. It's indescribable. And to get in there, you got to have Christ in your life and be born again. And the equipment for it is a whole new body, which you get through the resurrection, which Jesus, like I said, is the first fruits. Death to life. Such a good message, Mattis. What are you preaching at this at your services this weekend?
We're preaching Easter already. We're just coming out of a big series about mental health. So we're actually going about the resurrection. And we're picking up from the prophet Elijah when he resurrected this the son of the lady, and we're just talking about how he wants to do miracles behind closed doors, that we need to let him in those doors. And how you said the same with Easter. It's the story of the resurrection where God opened the tomb, he opened the door, and so he can give everything in. And I like what you said about how important Easter is, because it sometimes feel like, oh, it's just a public holiday. It's every year. It's the same. It's kind of Christmas. But I love about Easter that you have different kind of groups coming to your church that necessarily not coming. You got the people, they're just coming out of tradition. In Germany, we got the saying, we call them submarine Christians. They only dive up every on Christmas and Easter, and then they dive down again. But you get those people, and I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 when he says that the God of this world has blinded us for the gospel. And I think what we have a chance as churches on Easter to just be so excellent, to be so loving, to be so on fire that the church is so alive that people can feel Jesus. They won't see the empty tomb because they're blind, but they can feel the resurrected Christ through a church that is alive. And I think this is what I love about Easter and why I think we should put so much into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we got to put everything into moments where people come with a very easy invitation. They're going to come to church, and the most important message they could ever hear is going to be preached on that Sunday. I just pray that our pastors don't miss a beat with this, and I know they won't. I know they'll all be jumping in. And so if you're listening to this and you haven't got anywhere to go over the weekend, Easter weekend, find a C3 church near you or jump online with one of them. Go to the C3 Church Global website. You'll find something. You might even find Toronto, Sam Picken, and that documentary. Tell us what else you're doing on Easter, Sam.
Yeah, well, I just want to add to that. Like, if you're a pastor listening to this, preparing for Easter, just I would encourage you with what Mattis is saying, with new people coming and this, then this is an easy invitation. Don't overcomplicate the message. Keep it around hope. And I think, you know, we don't need to try and impress, or it's not about us. If we can just be the bridge builder and really introduce people to Christ and keep it simple, that might be something that they're not used to on Easter. Who knows how many times, how many years traditionally that they've come to different church services. I would think that if it has been a tradition, it might be typically a more traditional church that they may have been to, and they may have heard a relatively complicated message. So if we can just kind of stand out in a way to make it just simply about hope, really thinking about the audience in mind, who is that person that's coming and their life, the single mom, the construction worker, the uncle that is coming over for Easter weekend, and just having that right in the forefront. I know as a preacher myself, just to be reminded of the audience like that helps keep me on track and helps me be right. A good messenger for Christ. And so, you know, just right. Kind of encouraging that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's not an opportunity for a theological dissertation, right? That's what right. You're saying. It's an opportunity to actually love people and to think people need hope out there. And hope can apply to both Good Friday and obviously on Sunday, because Jesus said, I'm dying with hope in my heart, and not yes. just hoping that God will be there for me. He knew God would be there for him. So that hope wasn't a wishful thinking. It was a solid anticipation of a sure certainty. And he said, my flesh shall rest in hope, when he quoted that psalm. And so he died with, he went knowing, I'm going to be out of here in 3 days' time. I'm going to be back.
Right.
Yeah. And then hope on the resurrection morning is itself. Hey, look. Let me bring this up. I do these short messages on Instagram, about 5 minutes long, and then I've started doing longer form messages on YouTube. They're about 20 minutes on the same subject, so it's cool. A longer version yeah. of that. Now, recently I've done mental health, I've done hope, I've done forgiveness, God doing impossible things, and I was surprised to find that the most viewed of all of them was the one about joy. And I thought, wow, people are really feeling distressed and a little sad and depressed and angry and maybe confused. So I think that our services really should lean towards joyfulness.
Yeah.
When the temptation yeah. to be melancholic could be there, and thinking that somehow is a God-pleasing state. I mean, it is good to remember Jesus and his death and to enter into the passion
so good.
And to feel some kind of reflectiveness about right. that when we take communion. I do believe in that, but there should be a residual hope and joy knowing that he died to take away our sin and he rose to give us justification. There's a positive gospel message in all of that Jesus did over Easter, right?
Yeah, we think seriousness and holiness are like synonymous or something. Like the more right. serious you are, the more holy you are. But I just wonder if joy and holiness are more synonymous.
You'd be correct.
And especially, look at I think people are hurt and confused in this time of day and where we are in the world. So people don't need more sadness. They don't need more heaviness. They need joy. They need freedom. They need just a place where it's fun. And this is what I would say to all the pastors who are listening. Make sure church is fun, even on a Good Friday. That get your team together. Like, they need to meet new people. They need to have conversation with people. They need to invite people because it needs to be fun, a place of belonging. And I think this is ultimately where healing can happen, where people are just invited. They feel great. they see, okay, they sing the joy of the Lord is my strength, or they pray that and they actually look like it. Cause it's nothing worse than Christians who say like, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, but they're crying while they're saying it because they are so sad, isn't it?
Yeah. It's too good. We're doing like Easter egg hunt. It's kind of hit off last year. It was crazy. We just got out of the pandemic and over 1,000 people came to this Easter egg hunt that weren't members of our church. And we were surprised by it, that the marketing kind of hit for it. And so we're doing that again. And we've got this, our second location, Hamilton, really only just got started, but the spots to host the Easter egg hunt for child safety and everything is just already full. And so we're scrambling now to try and like make people do have these traditions to like get around there and do it. And so we filled up over 400 spots, and the church is only 100 people right now. So it's an exciting problem to have. It's going to be a riot.
I'll say that'll be phenomenal. Absolutely. I remember one year we did a Easter egg drop from a helicopter.
I was in Sydney by that time. I was there. This was hilarious. And the best part was not just the Easter egg drop of the helicopter. The best part was the petting zoo that was next to the bushes. And I was a college student by that time. So we were supposed to always stand in front of the bushes because of the snakes that wanted to get to the little rabbits. That was the story behind it. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Matt is the snake handler.
The children's church worker was trying to hold the children back so they didn't come under anywhere where the helicopter was dropping the eggs. And he had a bullhorn and he said, no, 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 you got to stay there. And there was like, I don't know, 500 young kids, little kids. And he literally got trampled. They just wouldn't stay there. As soon as those eggs fell, it was
so a run on it.
Horde of people. Yeah, so it was fun though.
Yeah, I remember that, and it's a talking point. So all those families are going away from that, and they're telling people about church without telling people about church. Like it's going to create a talking point and buzz. It's awesome.
Yes.
And the thing is, I think what it does, it gives you a sense of family, isn't it? Because we were thinking in church, I was recently thinking with our team about it, how do we move church for a lot of people from a hospital to family, where they're just coming to get fixed, to get their bandage. They're coming every other week because they are hurt, because they need the next doses. But how do we get them into family? Because we want ultimately that it's moving from just being in hospital, that they're being part of a family. And we found that those moments, they are just fun moments where you just connect with people, where it's on a easy thing kind of moment where you just have a coffee together. These are the most fun family moments. Like the best party is always in the kitchen because you just have food. And I think we need to have more kitchen and fun moments in church, especially for Easter and after Easter. Because it's sad if Easter is filled, but your congregation is empty on the Sunday afterwards.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It should. One thing should lead to another, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a pathway for that, Sam?
Yeah, we'll be on Easter having like a 101 book that we don't normally have that we hand out to everybody. It'll be like a little bit about us in a book, just because they're not going to probably... we don't know if we're going to see these people for a few weeks. But we're going to try and get as much information as possible. So with the Easter egg hunt, they have to register. And part of the strategy of that is it gives us the ability to be able to follow them up. Granted, this day and age, you have to have the consent that they can follow up, but we got that on there. So everyone that consents that we can contact them, we'll be contacting them, inviting them, thanking them for coming. Our photo booth is a part of the registration. So when you come and get your photo with the Easter bunny, it will be sent to you. So that's the way we kind of keep a connection with their details. And so we send them the photos of their family, their Easter photos, and they will and they will get a thank you from us. Thanks for coming out to Easter. Just to let you know, we're here every week, blah, blah, blah. And then the follow-up after that, we've got Baptism Sunday, the following Sunday after Easter. And then we try and get them connected in Next Steps and everything just through the regular programming at church. But that's kind of our thinking around trying to try and keep the ball in our court as much as possible with evangelism and following people up. You know what I mean?
So
yeah. I think one of the areas that we easily fall into is like, come to us, come to us, come to us, come and see. It's going to be amazing.
Mm.
And I think Easter is, it should remind us that Jesus actually, he didn't die for himself. And he actually did that for us. He didn't even rise from the dead for himself. He did that for us. And so I think as much as we can to make our services love people and do things for them and think through ways of how we can help them, I think that guidance on our culture and on our services, that unselfishness, that laying down our lives to help other people, I think that really needs to be revived in church life rather than the just, you know, we want you to come to us. I think we would, if people could hear the message, we're here for you and we'll pay a price for your life. We want to help you. And I think what Mattis is saying, like the going from a hospital to the family, the greatest help, in my view, that we can be to people is provide them with real relationships.
Yes.
Where people feel like they are in a family, they're bonding, and they're not just on their own, doing life on their own. So to find out what their needs are and then maybe go visit them with them, see their mum in hospital or just all that stuff, that shows that we're interested in their life and we're going to help them. I think that would be a really great message to come through in our Easter culture.
That's so good. Really, well, we could put that on the follow-up thing. We could say, if you need anything, we're here for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Here for you. That's a good line, huh? So we're just drawn to a close. So any parting thoughts, Mattis, on Easter?
Well, I think go bold. Like everybody who's listening, go wild on Easter. I think this is one of the days in the year where Christians can celebrate our living Savior, and we should celebrate it, and we can go bold and we can go warm and we can be exciting and make sure that people that maybe are blind for the gospel yet will just feel the love, the warmth, the fun of the house of the Lord. And I think this is just go wild and go have fun and preach a really, what Sam said, preach a really simple and personal message. And just so people don't need to understand what this means and that means. They just need to understand that Jesus died for them and that it's true for them. So go bold on Easter.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you will. I don't know anything other matters than a bold one. So Sam is so good with this documentary. I mean, what moves me, what moves anybody is a story of the actual message being lived out. Mm. The message on its own is pointless unless it's actually had an impact on a person, man, who's come back from the dead. That's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Three times at the cross scene, like there's a test to Jesus where they're saying, save yourself. Mm. Like even the criminal on the side of the cross, well, if he's the Messiah, save yourself. And then the end of the story is Jesus doesn't. He trusts God. He says, I commit my spirit to your hands. It's a trust exchange. I think that's where our world's at in this day. And like, John, the guy that in that story, well, he was in a coma. He couldn't save himself. His dependence was on an external source. And so society, it's after the pandemic, it's all about self-preservation. It's all about save yourself, mask yourself. And we're not talking about the pandemic anymore, but the world's taught us that the best savior that you have is you. And it's such a bad message because it results in mental health issues. It results in depression. It results in all these things. And when you become your own savior, which is essentially what people are trying to do. They're trying to work out more. They're trying to educate more. They're trying to, and all these things. And, but they're all supplementary to the message that we are ultimately meant to be dependent on God and that He is the Savior. And so I just think with the messaging around Easter in this day and age, with the age of information, the age of yours truly, like look after yourself, preserve yourself, ensure yourself. I think just to present a message that, hey, there is someone that's got your back that is so much more reliable than yourself. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And if you depend in Him and trust in Him, like, it's all going to turn around for you. And and I think that message there in the Easter story, hey, if you save yourself, Jesus, and He didn't. I think it's a good message.
Love it. Well, guys, you have a fantastic Easter. Thanks for jumping on the show with us. And
thanks for having
everybody
us.
If you're listening, hit subscribe, and you'll be notified of when we're coming up again. We're putting out podcasts on a pretty regular basis, so have some. We've always got somebody interesting, or else a devotion from yours truly. And happy Easter, safe holidays, and wish you all the best, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.